Also, forewarning, I think someone's put some shoes in the tumble dryer, so that'll be fun for you to edit out. It sounds a bit like when the police are trying to get into a house. Like, boom, 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 boom. What do you have for breakfast, Ben?
3 wheat bisques. We've been through this, Ed. We've been through this at length.
I feel like a bisque, the plural of bisque is bisque.
Hey, speaking about wheat bisques, yeah?
No, Timmy.
So, you know, you're in Aldi and you see on the products...
Oh, sorry to interrupt you, but you'll be happy that I also have some Aldi content on my list. So
let's get the Aldi content out the way at the top.
All right.
Okay, so, you know, when you're at Aldi and you see on all the products, like, that they've won industry awards.
Right, yeah.
So, on the pizzas, they often have Papa Industry Award winner, right? Like a proper Papa crest. Yeah, like the Papa Awards.
Yeah.
So, I want to go to the Papa Award ceremony.
You have to invite me.
You could be my plus one.
Do podcast coverage.
Well, this is it. I think we should make it our mission to try and get to the Papa Industry Awards.
Oh, can you imagine? Ben, I don't want to hope, you know, because I'll just be upset.
Yeah, because in my mind, the level that the Oscars is at is exactly the same as the level that the Papa Industry Awards is at. Tuxedos, red carpet, paparazzi.
You got Mr. Sainsbury's over there and you're like, oh, should I say hello? Does he know who I am?
Yeah, so I think we need to reach out to Aldi and find out where these Papa Industry Awards take place and if they have press passes. I mean, a part of me thinks that the Papa Industry Awards are a totally fabricated thing just to sell pizzas, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But also, on the off chance that they are a big red carpet event, I think we should try and get ourselves there.
Is it a pizza-specific award or a food award that was given to a pizza?
I don't know, because they're playing on the whole like Italian connection, right? Albeit, I'm sure all of their pizzas are, you know, made and shipped from the UK. So I don't know if it just applies for pizzas or if they also have like tertiary awards for things like, you know, the prepackaged pasta dishes like lasagnas and cannelloni and things like that. I don't know.
What food do you think has been snubbed for the Papa Awards?
That's a very difficult question, Ed.
I tell you what, go away and think about it. Because, you know, the Oscar committee, they don't just go, well, what film did you like? What was your favourite? Oh, yeah, Parasite. Doesn't work like that, Ben. Months, deliberation.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. I'll have to think about it. You don't see the industry awards on dried pasta. But I think dried pasta gets taken for granted a bit. So maybe dried pasta.
Content. There's content.
Aldi at the moment are selling like posh dry pasta, so I highly recommend that to all of our listeners.
But like the multicoloured stuff looks a bit like potpourri.
No, none of that nonsense. Just interesting shapes.
You can't taste shapes, Ben.
You want, when it comes to pasta and dried pasta, you want a good sauce catcher.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
You want one with a high surface area, but not too dense.
Well, fusilli, that's what you want. That grabs the sauce. It holds on. Penne, it goes right through it.
Well, yeah. Penne is a bit of a slide for sauce, though, isn't it? It just goes straight through.
Yeah. And sometimes you're chewing it and you get a bit of, like, weird squishing action out the side of the pen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit of an unpredictable dry pasta, is what you're saying.
Yeah. What?
It's a white shirt ruiner.
This is so stupid. This is so stupid.
Yeah, no, it's not. This is important. This is important.
I don't want to dwell on Aldi too much. I think we need to limit Aldi conversations to say, well, let's say less than 50% of the podcast.
But we're still going for that sponsorship money, Ed. You've got to remember that as well.
I think the Aldi thing I was going to talk about, it's part of a list of, I wanted to just give you some quick fire topics, things that I've been thinking about that I think you would have an interesting opinion on. But okay. I do think I've talked about this bit before.
Okay.
Go for it. To give you the quick fire list now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get it out the way.
So it doesn't have to be quick fire, actually. I'm just going to give you the thing. I just want to hear your thoughts on it, right?
Yeah, okay, I'm listening.
Crows.
Yeah, that you know, aren't crows just like commoner ravens? Is that what they actually are?
Well, Ben, crows are a member of the Corvid family, but very different creatures.
Yeah, so the crows are just commoner ravens then, aren't they? Ravens are like, you know, aristocracy of
the
blackbird.
Be careful what you say. They're very intelligent. We might have some crow listeners.
This is true. They are quite clever. I've seen them do stuff with water to get food before, so that's quite interesting.
In person?
No, not in person, just on YouTube. I'll put it in the show notes.
Would you find it strange if I said I have been trying to befriend the crows outside my work?
No, not in the slightest. I totally expect that. You couldn't have said anything that would surprise me less, in fact.
The only thing that's stopping me is the idea of, I have this vision of myself in a trench coat with crows on my shoulders, and I just think you can't go back from that. So yeah. I'm a little bit scared.
Are you clothed under the trench coat?
Maybe.
Maybe not, though. Maybe not. Have a think about that, yeah?
There used to be a woman that came in to bar that I worked in just a trench coat, and I went round all the customers and yeah, and she had a bag of this is
all
a
getting beeped
story.
Out. This is all getting removed. We don't go for the explicit tag on this podcast, but okay.
All right, well, I could just tell you for fun. Okay. But it was mental.
Next one on the list. I'm not having this smut on this podcast. Keep going.
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish. You know what? So I actually called her. What did I call her the other day? Billie Eilish. And Chloe just laughed at me as though I was some old man. So I'm glad you've just called her Billie Eilish, because that's along the same lines, really, isn't it? I did actually listen to some of her stuff, because every now and then I just dip my toe in the old pop music, the popular music that the kids are listening to.
Bit of the old disco tech.
Yeah, I like that one song that she does about being a bad person, that one.
Being a bad person. Bad guy.
Yeah. Undesirable human.
Rendition? How's it go?
I can actually do that, hang on.
Oh, this is good. This is a new level.
Something like that, isn't it?
Ben! Amazing.
There you go. Next! Keep going.
Wow, it's brilliant. Oh, I hope there's a song for another stuff. Okay, item number 3. People pretending to know lots about whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, the extent of my knowledge of whiskey is that if it has an E in it before the Y, it's from Scotland, and if it doesn't, it's just, well, I don't know where it's from. I don't know.
But I was more interested in your opinion that people that pretend to know lots.
Well, it just tastes like pain, doesn't it? So,
You don't think anyone enjoys it?
Yeah. I don't know. People do enjoy it, obviously, or they wouldn't drink it, but I think it's a bit pretentious. I remember watching something about red wine and white wine and the whole sommelier thing, and they had a bunch of sommeliers in, and they were basically going to play a trick on them, and they were going to take white wine and put red food coloring in it so it looked like red wine, and none of them knew. They were all like, oh yes, it's a beautiful red wine, so you can taste it's full-bodied,
right? See, like, that sounds like they've been duped a lot, right? But is the color much to do with the taste? Like, do they taste super different?
I don't know. I don't drink it, but it just, to me, it just, all of it seems a bit, you know, like, just, you know, I was like, you know, the restaurant chain Byron Burger.
Yeah,
they on their menu they used to have, I don't know if they still do, I think it was like white wine, red wine, and they had good, better, and best, and those were the three that's options good. You could have for each. And I quite like that. I think that's, you know, you can, because obviously cheap stuff tastes horrible.
I like the honesty. I quite enjoy. So I really enjoy putting people in awkward situations, and so I quite often enjoy going to pubs that I know won't have wines and saying, "What wines do you do?" And they're just like, we got white, we got red. I love that.
I think what's disgusting, though, obviously I don't drink anymore, but when I did, have you ever drank a dessert wine?
Yeah.
Oh, God, horrible. Horrible.
Oh, I like those.
No, they're like, I don't know, they're sort of like saccharine and sharp, and yeah, it's not for me. Not my cup of tea, or cup of wine, in fact. Next.
Art galleries.
Art galleries. You see, depends what type of art gallery we talked about.
You got different opinions on different ones. Well, okay, we'll talk your classic sort of like blank blue canvas sort of place. Very modern.
Oh, so we're talking very modern then, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so no, not up for that. Chloe once took me to the, we went to the, oh, what do you call it? What's the one on the South Bank in London?
Tate Modern,
yeah. The one that's in the big, it's a power plant or like isn't it? It used to be a power plant, something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to see the Damien Hirst exhibition. Oh, my days. What a joker that guy was. What a con artist.
What does he do? What does he do?
So he did the one with the canvases with the dots on it. Can you remember that? And then he had like, I don't know, one of them was just like a pharmacy full of drugs. He had the skull that was covered in diamonds. That was another one he did.
Yes, I've seen that one.
He had cross sections of animals suspended in like formaldehyde and that had been set in place.
Yes.
And oh my God, what a hack. What a total hack. Just nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I was talking to someone. I don't want to start talking about art. It's like the thing I'm least informed about.
That's all the more reason to talk about it. Talk about it.
Do you think the context of a piece of artwork is an integral part of the piece? Or do you think it should stand by itself?
I don't even know what that question means. That shows how much I don't know about art.
All right. Let me get an example. I saw a painting, found out in a little description by the side that the artist made it 2 weeks before she died. And I was like, ooh. And you looked at it in a very different way.
Yeah, I think the story's important, isn't it?
Although she used to make these paintings, right? She used to, like a massive, massive piece of paper on the floor. She used to, like, cover herself in paint, lie down, and just, like, paint around her, like, writhing all over the thing.
Yeah, see, that detracts from the story that you've just told there, Ed.
That's where she died, paint poisoning.
What, did she die of, like, lead in the paint or something like that, or...?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the story of a picture is important, isn't it, but... I don't know. I just thought all the Damien Hirst stuff. I don't think he even does most of it himself. I think he gets other people to do it for him. He just comes up with an idea, you know?
And then Thomas Edison.
You know, so I'm not all for that because I just don't get it. I just think it's nonsense. But then, like, you go to somewhere like, you know, like the National Portrait Gallery, and it's all, like, massive canvases, and it's really, like, intricate paintings and stuff like that. And they didn't even have good paints back then either, which makes it even more impressive. You know, you didn't just go to Hobbycraft or whatever and... pick up a set of paints. They had to make the paints themselves.
You had to crush up some beetles.
Yeah, exactly. Get out in the garden, you know what I mean? Get down to the allotment. that's dead impressive, like, but I still look at it and I just go, it doesn't really interest me. It doesn't, you know, excite me. But I can appreciate the level of talent that's gone into it, you know what I mean? Oh, what was the other one we saw? We saw Rothko as well. We saw Rothko. He's the one who just does, like, canvases with, like, two colours on.
Oh, yeah?
And everyone's like, it's amazing, that, like. And I'm thinking, well, I could whack that together on, you know, on Photoshop in a couple of minutes. You know what also winds me up about art is that when you come up with this criticism, oh, anyone could have done that, and then the immediate response to that is always, oh, but you didn't do it though, did you? What does that mean? Because all they're saying is that, oh, well, if you did it, maybe you'd have been successful. And it's like, no. The amount of luck and the amount of, like, stars that had to align for that kind of flippant idea to gain this traction is astronomical. You can't just be like, ah, yeah, but you didn't do it, did you? So you can show up.
It's a bit like, you know, when people talk to smokers, like, well, it turns out you spend £1,500 a year on cigarettes. If you had never smoked, if you've been smoking for 40 years, you could buy a plane now. It's like, well, where's your pal?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I don't think it's a valid defense of how trivial some art is. But there you go.
All right, next on the list.
Okay.
Signs that tell you what to do.
What sort of sign?
Keep off the grass. Thanks for shopping. No, that's not it. Please wash your hands.
Please. I like it when they say please.
That's what I hate.
Oh, you like it? You just like being told.
If I just go into the bathroom and punch someone in the face, and it's like, oh, please wash your hands. Like, you wouldn't say that if someone's, you know, out of order.
It's like what I said to you the other week, that when I drive home, I often go past the sign which is smile, you're on CCTV. I don't like that because it's very passive aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of assuming you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's immediately saying, oh, well, you're a criminal. You better smile because we've got you.
Do you think there's a guy that reviews the footage and just lots of people give him a little smile?
I doubt it. So yeah, on the whole, on signs that tell you what to do, it depends on the tone, really.
Have I told you that I've been shaving in the dark?
You've been shaving in the dark? Why? Well, what?
I've told you about that I live in a crack den, right?
Yeah, I know you live in a crack den because it's like you're growing like mushrooms on your wall or something, aren't you?
Have we talked about the crack den on the podcast? This is a whole podcast of content.
No, I know you're living in a bit of a dump, like, because when you moved in, you said that the wall was sodden.
The wall cries. The wall leaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Has that been fixed?
Yeah. It's more like the paint is containing it now. Waterproof paint bubbling.
So it's still wet, but just when you touch it, you know, the exterior of the wall is dry to the touch, but the interior is just...
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you put a rug over a stain, it's like, you know it's there.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, it's like all my emotional problems. I just push them off to one part of my head, and then they'll come out in a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fingers crossed the black mold might, you know, off you, and you don't have to deal with any of this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well, chance would be a fine thing. The light in my bathroom doesn't work. I told my landlord, hey... The light in my bathroom doesn't work. He was like, have you tried replacing it? And I said, have you tried not being a
I think that comes under your remit, by the way, replacing light bulbs, but go on.
Yeah, that's why I replaced them, Ben.
Okay.
Because I'm a bit of a man about the... Not man about the town, a bit of a handy man. That didn't work. So it's dark. There's no mirror in my bathroom either. So I've sort of been shaving by feel and then periodically running out to my bedroom to just check on the progress.
Can you not do this during the day when there's light?
Yeah, that is a good...
Yeah. So, early December, cast your mind back way back to early December. I mentioned to you one of the Christmas do's that we went to was we went to a burlesque show in Brighton.
No, you did. Did you tell me that?
I did. Because I told you the punchline to this story. But if you don't know the punchline to the story, that's all the better, really.
Right, hit me.
Okay, so a burlesque show, for people who don't know, kind of like a bit of comedy, a bit of singing on stage, some scantily clad ladies.
And a bit of nudity.
Well, a little bit of nudity. There's not actually like full-on nudity. I don't know if you know people realise. It's all actually covered, ultimately. But anyway.
Ben saw some strippers.
Beside the point, you also have like, you're sat at a table and you're having, we had Christmas dinner whilst we watched type thing. So I've got a bit of anxiety when it comes to coming to like live shows, particularly like small, intimate live shows, like small comedy venues in particular. Because I really like going to see live stand-up comedy, but I really, really, really don't want to be the guy who gets picked on, okay?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know you've got a story about this, and I've now got a story to tell you. So we were sat, obviously, you know, Sod's Law, whenever I go to these things, I try and be sat as far away from the stage as possible, where I can still see and I can still hear and I can just enjoy myself because I know I'm not going to get picked on. Anyway, so we obviously got sat right next to the bloody stage. So there was a lady on who was kind of like the compere for the night. She did a lot of singing. She did like a bit, like, not particular stand-up, but she's talked to the crowd quite a lot in like a stand-up kind of way.
A bit of crowd work.
Yeah, a bit of crowd work. And then just before like the actual night kicked off, she did the whole spiel of, right, there's you know, the ladies that are on stage doing their thing, they're not to be touched by anyone. They're just to be looked at and then, you know, enjoy the show type thing. Don't touch them, otherwise, you know, that's sexual assault and blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I was just kind of staring off into space. I was staring like pasta. Like, I was just totally staring off. You know, you like completely just phase out when people are just kind of saying like, because she was also doing the really mundane stuff like, oh, here's the fire exit. You know, here's this, here's that. The drinks are at the bar. The bar's at the back. The toilets are there. All that stuff. And but then the last bit of the show, the last bit of her explanation was obviously don't touch the performers. I was totally phased out. Like I must have looked like I had like a 1,000-yard stare on, and obviously she picked up on that and she was like, "What did she say?" She said something like, "I'm a boring you," or "I've really pissed you off by saying this, haven't I?" Or something like that. And obviously, loads of laughs.
And she's just sad because he can't touch the performers.
Yeah, she made it sound like that. She made it sound like I looked really mardy at the news that I couldn't touch the performers, and I was obviously totally mortified. I think she kind of picked up on the fact that I was just totally like, oh, God, this is just my worst nightmare. I just kind of like crumpled in on myself in that moment. Anyway,
sympathy for you.
Yeah, anyway. So this lady, she's a bit of like a larger than life character. She also was, how do I word this? She was, she had particularly large assets.
Ah, just big boobs.
Very, very large. Very large, Ed. Very large. So anyway, the night went on and I didn't get picked on again for a while. But then she comes out again after one of the lady actors, the lady performers have been on stage.
Lady performers!
I don't know what to call them. I'm not, you know, burlesque dancers. After one of them had been out on stage. So she's walking around with a wireless microphone singing, I don't know, singing some song. Like,
you were too busy staring, weren't you?
No. So obviously I was completely trying to just not look, not engage, hope that she doesn't walk over to our table and do anything to relate to me, because she's already picked on me once. And then, like, once you've picked on someone once, you become the target, right? You become the back and forth throughout the night. And it's just like, oh, I'm not up for that at all. Anyway, so I was just sat on the edge of the table. She was singing a song, walking among the crowd. She does, you know, the odd bit of, like, I don't know, flirting with some of the middle-aged blokes, and everyone has a bit of a laugh. I'll add that I was obviously stone cold sober throughout all of this as well, so that kind of changes the whole framing of it. So she's singing and she walks really close up to me, and I'm like, "This, something's going to happen here. I'm not getting away scot free here." And obviously, what she does is she walks over to me. She was kind of like, I was obviously sat down, so she was like, you know, head and shoulders above me, because she was actually quite tall as well. And what does she do when she's singing a song? She just grabs one of her breasts and just plonks it on top of my head while she's singing. And I was just sat there. What do you do when you've got someone's massive breast on top of your head? Oh, you know.
There's no improvement. You're not taught that in school.
No, there's nothing you can do. I didn't mind that so much because I kind of felt like I was in on the joke at that point, rather than the joke at the start of the night where I was a sexual predator.
Oh, it's all right, this. Get used to this tilt in my head. That's brilliant.
Oh, I've got such anxiety about that, though, and it was just a accumulation of my worst nightmare of what could have happened that night.
No, there wasn't an element of enjoyment there?
No, because I was just frozen in terror, really, with a breast on my head.
Was it a bare breast?
No, it wasn't bare. It was clothed. Oh, sorry. Take a step back there. No, she was fully clothed. The compere was fully clothed. She was fully clothed throughout the whole night. She was wearing a dress.
Deposited.
Yeah, she just plopped it on top of my head, and it was very weighty, Ed. It was very weighty.
You can tell it's a large breast when you say plopped. Yeah. Plopped it on. Not everything can be plopped.
Yeah, she just popped it on there and and just sang a few bars. So, yeah.
Well, you silently had a panic attack.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would... Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got a story related to that, though, haven't you?
Yeah, well, being picked on at a comedy gig, I stupidly... Well, actually, two stories. One, I sat in the front row, stupidly, and then someone that I didn't know very well, but did know, sat one seat with a gap in the middle because we thought our friend was going to join us, and they didn't. And I was like, we should sit together because otherwise they're going to mention this, like it's a thing. And she was like, no, it's fine. And it's like, oh, trouble in paradise.
Talking
about a little gap. And I was like, oh, I don't
know.
You know, I don't know her. Oh,
yeah. Like I even run through the scenarios in my mind if I do go to a stand-up comedy night. Like my day job is obviously programming. You know, and that's obviously the first thing they ask you, right? What do you do for a living? And if I say programmer, they're going to just immediately switch off and just say I'm a right boring fart or something like that, right? So I just try and run that scenario through my mind. When I was living in London, I used to have quite a good answer to that, like one of the ones that they probably couldn't take the mick out of you for. Because obviously I used to work in malaria research and like looking for a cure for malaria. Yeah. So if I told them that, they'd obviously be on the back foot like, oh God, you've given me comedy, you know, a comedy car crash.
But you're immune. Because,
yeah, I can't take the mick out of that. That's a very noble thing to do. I really hate it. It really, really stresses me out. And I don't know why. I really don't.
It was, I went to a comedy gig for my birthday with a few people that I met in Bristol. And again, stupidly thought, no one's going to tell them it's my birthday. Everything's fine. Immediately like, oh, where's the birthday boy?
And,
I like to think I'm quite funny, nor like just, you know, in regular life, Ben. But I do not perform well as an audience member.
No. And like...
The rapport was not there. It was... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's... It's my nightmare. They actually did the similar thing for the burlesque thing we went to. As we went in, they say, oh, are there any birthdays or anything like that in your party? And obviously someone said, because my birthday's in December, obviously someone mentioned it. And then at the end, they read out a list of names and say, right, you're all going to come on stage and sing a line from the song together. And and Chloe and I, because obviously Chloe and I both got our birthdays in December, we just looked at each other and went, no, we're not though.
Nah.
That's not happening.
I had to go on stage on my birthday, and genuinely, I was on stage, couldn't see the audience. I was like a whisker away from having a panic attack. But the saving grace, Ben, was that he picked a woman in the audience to choose the most attractive person on stage. And that wasn't me. And I've never been so grateful for being ugly as when I was chosen. Ben, I wanted to ask you, if there were any hobbies that you wanted to do, because of how they'd be perceived, you haven't taken them up. Because I've wanted to start rollerblading. Why is it? This is why I'm not doing it, because you're laughing at me.
I can just imagine you. I can imagine you with your inline skates on, and your little bum bag and your little sweatband on.
Do you not think it would be amazing?
No, you do it, Ed. If you want to do it.
No, but I can't.
Why?
It's embarrassing.
Just do it. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
I live at the top of a very gradual hill, and it would just shorten my commute time. It would be brilliant.
Well, what? I don't see the issue. Just go for it. Just make sure you post videos online of it.
I saw a 40-something-year-old woman in like a business suit just scootering to work, and I just thought, I think it's all about how you do it. If you do it with confidence, it's great.
No, sometimes if you do it with too much confidence, people like particularly think you're a bit of a, you know.
Right, it's funny, yeah, getting that balance.
Yeah, I think you've got to have an ounce of self-humility, don't you? You've got to be like, yeah, I know I look like a bit of a, but I'm enjoying myself and I only live once and all that stuff, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This guy called Slow-Mo, who retired neurosurgeon, and all he does is skate all day every day now, and he loves his life.
Yeah. I would quite like to skateboard. I've always wanted to get back into skateboarding, so I did it quite a bit when I was a kid, but I'm past it now. You know, I'm nearly at 30. You can't start skateboarding at 30.
I saw a YouTube video, this guy that started skating when he was 42, and he made a montage of him learning how to do an ollie and kickflip, and like it was inspiring, Ben.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. You're talking about Mike Boyd, aren't you? The Scottish guy.
Maybe.
The Scottish guy. He's got a channel where he tries to learn a skill and he films it, all of his attempts.
Yeah.
And then he sees how long it takes to learn.
All right, that might have been him.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a shout out to his channel because it's really, really good. And he does all sorts of stuff. He does like learning how to do a wheelie on a bike, learning how to do a kickflip. He did one where he learned how to like open water swim and all this stuff. And yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes because it's really quite fun. It's a good channel.
Wait, well, I'll tell you what trick don't you know? I'll make a deal with you. If you can learn a particular trick, I'll send you a video of me rollerblading in public.
Okay, so I'm learning at the moment how to do a manual on my mountain bike.
I don't know how hard that is. Is that difficult?
So you've got a wheelie. Wheelies are where, obviously, you pull a front wheel up and you're still pedaling. And then you've got a manual, which is where you just pull the front wheel up without pedaling. Doing a manual is more difficult than doing a wheelie.
I think you'd do it and then I'd have to rollerblade.
Yeah, that's great. That's the fun of it. We'll put it up on the...
Come.
We'll put it up on the show's Twitter. You doing your rollerblading.
You go splits on the blades.
Can I or can you?
If you go halves on the blades, I'll make it a deal.
All right.
Purchase one shoe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Actually, when we were mountain biking the other day, and speaking of being judged in public, we were mountain biking the other day, and we come back from the ride, and we're going through town, and there was a group of three or four kids, like, I don't know, all kids to me look like the age of eight, but I'm pretty sure they were probably above that, and they're on the mountain bikes, and one of them saw me on my mountain bike, and they shouted, "Wheelie, wheelie," at me. What did that do, Ed?
Did you do one?
I obviously tried.
Did you not manage it?
Oh, I did. I can't wheelie very well, but I can get like a couple of meters at least, you know, distance. So I did do a wheelie. It just wasn't very good. But that was my moment where I nearly showed myself up in front of a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Oh, the amount of times my worst nightmare is like walking past a park, a bunch of 8-year-olds, 16-year-olds, whatever, playing football, and the ball comes towards you. Oh, my God. Oh, it keeps me up at night.
As someone who's a football illiterate, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably just pick it up and walk over to them and be like, "Here is your ball."
You're like a good 200 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say what I do. I'd be like, they'd be like, "Oi, mate, can you pass us the ball?" I'd be like, "Ha ha." And just like, you carry on.
You pick it up and you walk it to them and they're like, "You could have kicked it." And I was like, oh, I thought it was a rugby.
Oh, you know, your lad's not playing volleyball.
I didn't want to kick it. I thought it was a basketball. You're not meant to kick them, are you?
I wanted to tell you about. Have you seen that I've shaved my head?
Yeah. Did you want to talk about that? What is there to be said about that?
Just that I'm having a crisis, Ben. No, I want to talk about the haircut. The haircut. This is classic Ed Barker Organ experience. Brother visited me weekend before last. Lovely time.
Yeah.
Took him to the hairdressers because, you know, he didn't think to do that before he came here, could he?
You took him to the hairdressers.
Yeah, it was like my son. I was just like, oh, yeah, give him a. Short back on the sides.
Why would you take your brother to the... Okay, keep going.
What's wrong with that?
It's a strange thing to do. It's a strange thing to do.
Sounds like he has learning disabilities.
Yeah, it is a bit. It sounds like he needed help.
Yeah, lollipop at the end of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had a haircut. I was just sat there chilling. 2 days later, I come in for my haircut. And the guy's like, hey, don't I recognize you?
Oh, don't do the accent. Don't do the accent.
No, it's part. It's good. It's important.
Okay. Carry on with the accent then.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I was in a couple of days ago. My brother got a haircut. He's like, but why are you coming out to get your haircut?
Oh.
I was like, oh, I only decided today. He was like, okay, what do you want? I just want to sort of go really short on top, like, you know, like a buzz cut. He was like, I was a little bit worried about my receding hairline. I said, well, you know, man, it's going to be more obvious your receding hairline if you get it cut short. Like, you want to do it? I was like, yeah. He said, you want like a 2, a 3, a 4? I was like, oh, I'll leave it up to you. He's like, what do you mean, man? It's your hair. You'll need to make a decision.
Oh, no.
And so, oh, God, it was awful. And so he was sort of shouting at me about my hair. And I was just like, I just, a short. And he was like,
yeah.
Your head, man, you know?
I have seen a picture of, you know, your new cut. And the first thought I kind of had was that you don't need to be a professional to accomplish the end product that you got. You could accomplish the same thing with
yes, fair
clippers and just going for it.
It was more of a spur of the moment thing. I was walking past the barbers and I was like,
"Yeah." And are you happy it with is. Are you happy with the end product? Are you happy with the new
mildly?
Mildly.
Tell you what though, the last time I shaved my head, Sue, the cleaner at the bar that I used to work at, said, "Oh, you look dead nice like that. You do, Ed. That's all I need, Ben. That's all I need."
You got the endorsement of a Scouse cleaner.
Yeah, you got two accents today. It's a real treat.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. You're all very lucky listeners. See, I always just take a photo of myself to the hairdressers. Is that a weird thing to do?
Oh, I wouldn't look like this fella.
Well, what's wrong with that, though? Right, I know what my haircut looked like the last time I got it done. So you take a picture of that and you're like, here you go.
Most people come in with a picture of David Beckham. You come in with a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
You taken the trouble to print it? And
no,
choose it.
I obviously don't pull out like a glossy 3x5 out of my coat pocket and just be like, "Can you make me look like this again?" No, I don't. It's on my
what
phone.
What do you think they would do if you if you brought out a picture of them and said, "Oh, can I have it like this?"
No, not even that. Just point at them and go, "I want to look like you." And so that's the way to do it.
Talking of that, I don't know if we mentioned this in the podcast before, but when me and Ben used to live together, I used to try and dress up as close as I could to what Ben was wearing.
Yeah, and you did. Apparently, you did it for weeks and weeks, and I'd never noticed. And then eventually, one day, I finally noticed.
I knew.
Yes, you
yeah, because I think you had red trousers and a black shirt, and I was like, "Oh, I have that exact costume." I think you got changed because you didn't. You hated the idea of us going in dressing the same clothes. So you had to get changed.
Probably, yeah. I didn't want us to look like...
I wore your initial...
You know, estranged siblings or something like that.
That's all I've ever wanted, Ben.
I know. That's why I didn't want... Just back on the hairdresser thing, though, right? You know when you go in and the hairdresser asks you what you want?
Yeah.
There are very few, like, services like that where the professional asks you what you want from the service, right?
Yeah, imagine going to the doctor. It's like, what do you want? It's like...
To be well.
Painkillers?
Yeah.
Surgery?
Yeah. What do you want the end product of this to look like? I don't know. You're the professional here.
I want them to tell me, like, oh, I tell you what, you would look really good with this hairstyle, and then do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know what a 2 is. What's a 2?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right? That's my major grievance when it comes to hairdressers. They go in and they're like, oh, yeah. Because I obviously show them my picture, and they're like, yeah, okay. So it's like, what, like a 3 or a 4 on the side? And I'm like, what? What is a 3 or a 4? Is this some sort of like SI unit that people get taught in school? Was I off sick that day? Because everyone seems to know, like, oh yeah, he's got a 3 on the side, he's got a 4 on the side.
Yeah.
And then they ask you, they ask me, and I'm like, I don't know what a 3 is. They should have like a picture on the wall with like, you know, like the Bristol stool chart. They should have that, but for grades.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ben, when you bring in your laminated face, keep next to it a little chart and you can point to the numbers.
Yeah, I feel like this is like universal knowledge that I've clearly missed out on the hair grading system.
Yeah, I have to choose my battles into when it comes to talking to hairdressers. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know?
Yeah, it's a really awkward one. It's a really awkward one, especially so to add further complication to that. Sometimes you'll not be talking to them, right? And then in the chair next to them, they start with a new client, like a different hairdresser starts with a new client, and they're really chatty. And then your hairdresser, I'm thinking, is my hairdresser sat here like, why isn't this guy talking to me when next door?
It's like, yeah, you guys aren't performing. You know? You need to like pick up your game.
And what do you talk to them about?
Or sometimes, Ben, your hairdresser can start talking to another customer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa, buddy.
You've broken this triangle. Is like,
you know, you're cheating.
Yeah. That's it's a social nightmare. What do you even talk to them about, though? You know what I mean? Like, what?
Well, let me tell you, Ben, don't talk about politics because I got a shit haircut from that.
Yeah, that that goes without saying.
I don't know if you've ever had your hair cut aggressively, but I did.
Yeah. I can imagine. The last time I was there, though, the guy outside the window, there was a guy from the council spraying like weed killer on the weeds in the square.
Yeah.
And the guy struck up a conversation with me about that. He's like, oh, finally, they've sent someone. Finally. You know what? Last year, we did that ourselves. And look, you pay council tax and finally they've sent the guy out to do that. And I was like, yeah. Those weeds in the square and all that, it's an issue, all right.
I really like things like that. I love it when people get passionate about really mundane things.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, you must have it.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to mention that. So we've had no correspondence whatsoever from all two of our listeners, which is really upsetting because we do have an email, which is contact@cgto.show. Contact@cgto.show.
My mum now listens. Mother, if you're listening.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Some fan mail.
We do have a contingent in Ohio, I believe, as well, which I mentioned on our failed episode 10 recording. So we've got some people there. But what I was going to ask the fans of the pod to email in or tweet us at CGTOpod. What I want is the most mundane bit of information that you can tell us possible.
Because if it's so mundane, it's interesting again. It comes back out the other side.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You've got to like really play it fine. Because yeah, you're right. If it's too mundane, you know, we here at the on the pod, we celebrate the mundane quite clearly. You've listened to about 40 minutes of the most mundane talk possible. So I want the most mundane possible thing you can tell us.
Can I give a good example?
Yeah, I've got one as well. So go for it.
All right. So this morning, got my moisturizer out because I'm a modern man. That's fine. We do that now.
Yeah.
It came out. Thought it was empty.
Yeah.
It wasn't empty.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get a new one then, because you've got some.
No. Yeah. I was like, it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. It's quite good that. Yeah. So the one that. so the one.
But that's good. That's a sweet spot. I feel.
Yeah. So the one I've got is this morning I was we had the car in for a service. Yes. This is going to go nowhere, by the way. We had the car in for a service yesterday. We got back. We found out that the...
It sounds like it's going to have a punchline, though.
We found out that the front drive side tyre has gone a bit bald, so we needed a new one. So I priced that up online. And it turns... I thought I was going to get a cheaper price online and, you know, get it delivered and then take it to our mechanic and he could do it for us. But it turns out our local tyre place would do the actual tyre we were looking for cheaper with fitting. So we did that. I did that instead. That's it. That's the kind of content that I want sent into my inbox. I want to read that sort of stuff on a day-to-day basis. So if you're listening, send us the most mundane thing you could possibly could think of at contact@cgto.show. No, dot show. Oh, for goodness sake. So just a quick one. This is quite a little funny interlude. Chloe recently, right? She's been messaging someone on Instagram. Do you know that it's a thing on Instagram? You message, like, it was, I think it was a story a few years ago, that drug dealers were kind of openly doing their dealings on Instagram through DMs.
Oh dear.
She's not doing that, but she's doing something close. There's a guy in Nottingham called Sideline Cookies, and he makes cookies, right? And then he sells them out of his car boot in car parks around Nottingham.
Black market cookies?
Yeah, so like this is like a drug deal for cookies. And Chloe's been messaging him like, when are you going to be near Derby? We'd be interested.
Chloe is an absolute fiend when it comes to pastries.
Yeah, well, yeah. So they do look like really good cookies, to be fair. I'll put a link to his Instagram in the show notes. But I just found that really funny that she's been... She's been sending messages to this guy to try and find out when she can go to a dark car park at night and get a box of cookies from him.
I'd like to think that, you know, like you'd like suspect an affair and you're really worried, just messaging this guy late at night, going off in the middle of the night on weird little trips. Oh, I'm staying late at work again.
It's just for cookies. And
it's just cookies. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought you'd find that fun.
Good, I like that.
So recently, Ed, end of last year, Chloe got her pilot's license.
Yes.
So that was quite exciting.
Congratulations.
So she's got a private pilot's license. For those who don't know, that's a minimum of 45 hours flying, a whole bunch of exams, and then a test flight.
Wasn't it quite unusual that she passed it after that, like immediately after those hours? People do more than that usually.
Usually people do more than 45 hours, yeah. But as soon as she got to 45 hours, she put in for a test. She's done quite a lot of flying in the past. She's done things like gliding and whatnot. So she's got some past experience. But she did very well and she's passed. And then for my birthday, she took me up in a 2-seater aeroplane.
Was she delivering cookies on behalf of...
No, she wasn't doing a cookie drop over, over foreign lands or anything like that. So it was just the two of us. It was really quite bizarre.
Did you feel safe?
Oh, yeah, totally safe. It was really good fun, sorry. It didn't just feel bizarre. It was really good fun. It was amazing seeing things from the air and seeing it all from a different perspective and whatnot. But
it felt really different to being on like a commercial plane.
Yeah, obviously, because it's a tiny, tiny little thing. So you feel everything a lot more. And obviously, if you look out the window, you know, it's not like a pressurized cabin or anything like that. And Chloe was telling me before we go up, one of the planes, you've got to be careful because sometimes the passenger door just randomly opens. And if that happens, just slam it real hard. Yeah. But obviously, when we take you up, Ed, we won't go on that one.
I genuinely, there has been, I'd probably say 3 times this week that I have panicked about this.
Why though? So you are going to come up with us though, right?
I just think I'm going to be a headline. Yeah? Young man dies in plane crash.
Is it because of the plane or is it because Chloe's being a relatively new pilot? Or...
No. I trust Chloe.
Yeah. She actually commented as well. So I think it's a bit different though. So when you pass your driving test and when you've got a good bit of experience driving, you understand what it's like to drive. You understand the reaction times involved. You understand how the mechanics of driving work, right? Obviously, I've never flown a plane before in my life, so I've got zero concept whatsoever. So the whole thing could be going totally pear-shaped and I'd have no idea. So that's why I had no fear whatsoever when I got on the plane with Chloe. Maybe I'm somewhat unique in that, but like, yeah, she could be going into a bit of a tailspin and I could just be like, is it meant to do that? I'm not sure. It's quite a lot of G-force, but I'm sure you've probably got it under control. You know better than I do. To the point where she laughed at me because she landed the plane, and as she was like coming into land, as she was doing her final approach, I just turned around and got my bag out the back of the plane and just got my phone out because I was gonna start filming or something like that. And she was like,
yeah.
"You're obviously very, very comfortable with me flying and not at all afraid, because not many people on final not many people on final approach would be looking the other way trying to find their phone in their bag. Most people would be like white knuckling it at this point."
That's the bit for me. Take off and landing in the sky, I think I'm fine.
Yeah, you'll love it. We'll get you up in it because she's been training in a 4-seater recently as well. So we'll get you up in a 4-seater. I've got one more thing on my list, but I don't even know if I should talk about it because it just frustrates me to no end.
Oh, go on.
So I think I mentioned last year on the pod that I was trying to do my very best to not read any news.
Yeah.
And as you know, as you will know, because you follow the news, in, let's say, the last 6 months or so, there's been quite a bit of news, right?
Yeah, the old Brexit thing.
Things have happened. I'm not going to name any specifics, okay? Because it just winds me up to no end. I'm going to try and talk as general as possible, as not to get into any specifics, annoy anyone.
Yeah.
Just in general. People will see through that immediately, of course, but there you go. So... you can't avoid certain amount of news. Anyone who totally doesn't know what's going on, I find absolutely bewildering, because just by living in modern society, you kind of absorb some of it by osmosis.
Oh, yeah, it's unavoidable. Like social media, on the news in the background, yeah.
So I originally stopped reading the news because the whole thing made me despair because of the way the news was going and the events that were happening made me really unhappy. So that's one thing. But then... I've been recently just feeling another thing about reading it and keeping up to date with it, in that nothing ever happens, right? Things happen.
That is just not true.
No. Hear me out on this one. So nothing ever happens as a consequence of actions or things happening, right? There's no justice is essentially what I'm trying to get at here, okay? So,
can you give an example?
I'd rather not get into specifics, but let's just say, okay, let's give a very generic example. A world leader goes out and does something that's highly illegal. I don't know, they shoot someone, they kill someone, whatever. And you read that headline and you think, that's terrible. We should, you know, something should happen about that. Something will happen about that, surely. If the world is just and fair and right, something will happen. Justice will be served.
See, I see where you're coming from, but I think a lot of these things, like that's the headline, that's the interesting bit. And I think there's probably so much diplomacy and ambassadors talking to other ambassadors and tiny sanctions going on behind the scenes. I just don't think it's reported. I just don't think you're aware of it. I just don't think these things slide.
I think it just does, though. Again, I don't want to get into specifics. I hate actually talking about the real news, because I want to talk at a more meta layer about this whole sort of, you know.
What you're doing with the news is a bit like what you're talking about, the rug over the stain, you know? You're just hiding it.
Well, yeah. It just seems like you read a headline and you think, right, surely something will come of this. The people who are to blame, or the people who have lied, the people who have broke the law, surely they will be put to justice, things will be put right, and the world will continue in a more positive fashion, right? Yeah. But you read these headlines, and all I can think now is when I read these headlines that such and such did such and such, which is highly illegal and completely against, let's say, democracy or whatever. You read it, and then my immediate thought now is, right, well, nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to happen. You can do what you want now.
Yeah, I think that's where we differ, because I sort of acknowledge that these things are happening. It's like, oh, that person broke the law. Nothing's come of it. But I still keep hoping, like, things will change. Things will get better. There'll come a point where people are responsible for their actions. You know, like the BP oil spill, or people that...
Yeah, but no one was held accountable for any of those things, really. I mean, again...
Next time they will.
Well, they just don't, though, do they? I mean, we've witnessed it time after time, and it's probably just because I'm tuning into this, and this has probably always been the case. It's probably not a thing of 2020 or 2019 or whatever. It's not unique to any particular generation's news cycle, but it just seems like you'll see a headline of someone's done something wrong, and my first reaction is, so what? Doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to come of this. You can do what you want now. It doesn't matter. No one's actually held accountable, so...
Keep hoping, Ben. This is why this is the cynic's guide to optimism.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, you know, one can only hope that good change does come of these big headlines, but it just seems like it'll just continue, right?
Be that change you want to see.
Well, that's the other thing as well. As a individual, what are you actually meant to do about these things?
But I think it's more about feeling that your actions are in line with your principles, rather than the belief that your actions truly have consequences. You know, I don't believe that, you know, if you wanted to be a vegan for the sake of saving the environment, that you're not really helping the environment that much. The direct consequence, but your actions are in line with your principles.
So you're talking at a micro level rather than a macro level. Live out your life how you would, you know, in line with what you believe.
Yeah. Otherwise, no one would vote. No one would vote. No one would make lifestyle changes which help other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, like, you know, people say, well, don't worry about the big picture, just do what you can do, vote and whatnot. But voting makes no difference either. I don't know, maybe I'm being totally cynical, maybe, but it just seems like, you know, a headline could come out tomorrow that the worst news you could ever expect to see. And I would immediately just think, well, so what? You know what I mean? Like, let's just name a few things. Like I think one that most people can kind of get behind, it's kind of a non-partisan thing. The whole Epstein thing, for example, right?
Yeah.
So he's obviously a bad guy. He's broken many laws. He got arrested and he got on like house arrest or something like that, or house jail, right? And like the whole thing was a bit strange. I don't know the full details of it. And then he got found dead. And I remember reading that headline when he got found dead. It was the end of last year at some point. I just remember thinking, nothing will happen then. So all of that's just put to bed now. He's dead.
Yeah, there's no punishment. It's like...
Yeah, the news cycle moves on and nothing gets brought to justice.
But that's unique because you're not able to bring things to justice. Whereas, like, I don't know, other things, it's just delayed. Like, it could still happen. Like Boris Johnson lying to Parliament or something.
Well, yeah, he got found guilty in court, right?
Yeah, and was that thing he, like, planned to beat up a journalist or something? It's like,
yeah. You read all these things, Ed, and you just, like, think, yeah, so what? Nothing's going to happen. Doesn't matter, does it?
Keep hoping, Ben.
Yeah, I was rather hoping that you would say something a bit more, I don't know, a bit more action-orientated rather than just, yeah, fingers crossed. It'll be all right. But there you go.
Well, no, that's why I say, you know, yeah, be the change you want to see in the world. So, you know, but I think that involves being naive but being optimistic about the future. Otherwise, you wouldn't do those things.
Mm. That's a right depressing note to go out on. Have you got anything more?
I want to talk a bit more about crows, but that's just a me thing.
Okay. Let's probably call it at that.